Okay, good afternoon, colleagues. As you know, we are in the midst of one of the most grave pandemics worldwide in over 100 years. Daily, the reports come in about the spread, the rapid spread of the coronavirus COVID-19. And as a school district, we must be prepared to protect our students and our staff at all times, and to be prepared for community level events should we experience that in our community. And what we are learning from all of the reports across the world, CDC down to local Erie County health departments, is that it is just a matter of time before we see a community level event here in Buffalo, here in Western New York. So to that end, we have been preparing for the last 2 weeks, 3 hours per day, all day today, to be prepared as we can be for something that we haven't quite experienced ever before like this, to be ready to do what we need to do to protect our children. Today, I am here to say that we are not closing schools for a long period of time, but we are beginning the intense preparation part should we have to close schools for an extended period of time. So, Monday, schools will be closed for students all day. All staff will report on Monday. On Tuesday, students and staff will report to begin receiving the materials that will be more fully prepared on Monday to go home with them at the close of business day on Tuesday. For the planning is for up to 3 weeks. Should we close and need to close, we will be prepared to do so in a number of service areas for a period of 3 weeks. Monday, closed to students, open for all staff, teachers planning, coordinating their lesson plans, aligning them, making sure that all the content areas are covered, all of the grade levels are covered. That work will be intense on Monday, and the work has already begun, but it will be to align and refine primarily across the district on Monday. On Tuesday, students across all grade levels will return to school with teachers and staff to receive their packets, their devices, their medicine, anything and everything that they need that their education plan calls for, and they will take that home by the end of business day. And what they will have is enough to be out of school for a period of up to 3 weeks. On Wednesday, more likely on Tuesday evening, I will confer again with Chancellor Betty Rosa, with Interim Commissioner Shannon Tahoe, and other officials to make sure that where are we right now with school closures in the state of New York. Colleagues, I've been all day on this. There are over 100 school districts in the state of New York that have closed, and that they are intending to close in a similar manner that I'm intending to close for next week. We've been talking with superintendents, we've been talking with our regional superintendents, and also the ones in Westchester County and the southern part of New York State who have made plans to close their school districts. The Council of Great City Schools, colleagues, is made up of the 64 largest school districts in the state. In the country. Buffalo is one of those 64 largest school districts. And almost half of those 64 school districts have closed already across the country. So what we felt, because of our population, very fragile, very high need, high poverty level, because of our community, caring, generous, supportive, but all partners and our efforts need to be coordinated really, really well across public and private sectors. So the city of Buffalo, the Buffalo Public Schools, the health department, the county of Erie County, and Say Yes, our most important strategic partner, are all working together to provide an array of services in three main categories. First is health and food and nutrition. Food and nutrition needs of our students. And I'm just going to give you the large bucket areas that we are prepared now to do, but we're going to refine it in those 2 days, Monday and Tuesday week coming. Breakfast, lunch, every day for all of our students and the 21 community schools, which you've heard about, will be open during this period of time, and any closure time, we will keep our community schools open to be able to deliver an array of important, needed services. Our food and nutrition center, under the leadership of our magnificent team, are prepared to deliver breakfast, lunch, warm and cold food, hot and cold food, to students every day. Most likely, the most efficient way to do it will be to come and have grab bags, grab and go, at these community center outlets. That's one option. But if students aren't able to, or if folks are quarantined for any other reason, or a whole community is quarantined, we will provide transportation services to deliver food to our students and to our families. Next important area is health services. Many, many of our children have medications, have health needs, medical needs. We have one whole school that is medically fragile that must have continuity of their services, or their actual lives are at risk. And their lives are more at risk in a pandemic environment like we're in. So we're working closely with ECMC and with health partners to be able to bring and keep those services going. I may keep School 84 open, for example, if it's determined that that's the safest and best place to keep bringing students so that they can get all of those services that their IEPs require. That's just an example. In the area of educational support services, and before I do that, let me say something about HR. HR, we have 10 bargaining units, colleagues, 10. And of course, there have been questions that if we're out for an extended amount of time, you know, will payroll continue for so-called non-essential personnel or personnel who aren't required to report to a place and space? And at this time, we are working to assure that if we are in this kind of environment, and that's the reason we're closed, that those employee groups' payrolls will not be affected. That's what we're working to ensure. We have a telemedicine service that you can call in, because we are anticipating that doctors' offices and urgent care and hospitals will start to become overwhelmed, if you will, and we're working to make sure that patients who are feeling sick or people who are feeling sick can call and get a quick diagnosis over the phone by qualified medical staff by calling in and using this special services that our HR department has already in place. It was in place before, but now we're making it so it has expanded capacity. Colleagues, in the matter of continued learning, our teachers have worked hard, our principals have worked diligently for over a week now, and teachers do have prepared lessons pre-K through grade 12 in all subjects and around the key areas, particularly for the elementary grades, in English and language arts, writing, mathematics, and science. And we will be aligning and refining those on Monday, as I had said, as I indicated before, for distribution going home on Tuesday. There are a lot of I'm very impressed with my team who have put together some amazing innovative ideas. Some students will have devices like our juniors and our seniors who we don't want to lose any ground toward graduation. Will have their devices with them and they can keep up with their courses because they are being prepared and transferred to online capability, as well as being able to chat and talk with a teacher to help them through their courses toward graduation. There's a whole array of technology tools that we had already had. We will bolster those and make those available so that students can go ahead if they want to with technology like Next Lesson and the whole Myon reading list is over 12,000 books online so students can read them. Bottom line, colleagues, they will never be bored if they want to put the work in. If they want to put the work in, they can actually go faster at home without sort of the lockstep classroom instruction approach. So I'm giving you the high level, and the bottom line is that we are prepared should we have to close for an extended period of time. What we're going to be doing, working with our colleagues in the mayor's office and these other partners, is refining, because as you can imagine, in a large school system, there are a myriad of issues that have to be addressed and made sure that they are done right in order for this to occur. There's new advice coming out all the time about the length of closure and whether it's more effective or less effective in the spread or containing the spread. We don't know the science. We're just going to keep up with the science as best we can, follow the latest guidelines and advice. But what I do know is that if we get to community level event, or we get to where more and more parents are keeping their children out anyway, or teachers are being out anyway, which we saw some evidence of that today, then we want to be prepared to do what we must. So, high level, certainly more we can talk about. We're here to answer your questions. I'm joined by the experts who have begun to put these plans together, and we can answer any question that you'd like to ask us at this time. And we thank you for your attention, and we want to ask if you've been tested. Okay, all right. So, question. Well, this is a challenge in a district like ours. And so that's why we want to coordinate with our employers and our people, you know, partners across the state who employ wage-working families to ensure that there may be legislation passed that will enable them to be home. What I can tell you is some families will be home and others won't be able to necessarily take off and be home. So that's a bridge that we're working on. Very closely. I don't have a full answer for you at this time.
So all students in the Buffalo Public School System, in addition to having laptops, they have access to the internet?
That's an excellent question. What I have come to understand, and Myra's here with me, is that certainly Spectrum News has offered some assistance to needy school districts and places to offer free hotspot access. And then there's Verizon that also has offered. So Myra, if you could complete that particular question, because that's an important question that's often asked.
Yes, we have.
Come step up with me. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Verizon Wireless is providing about 2,000 mobile hotspots for us to use to help bridge the digital divide in our community. So we do recognize that there is a gap in terms of internet access. And so we believe the 2,000 hotspots that we are going to receive next week will help bridge that gap along with the partnership and the offerings that Spectrum is providing to the community.
And are they spread across east, south, west, and north?
Yes, we will most likely try to distribute them in some of the community schools so that we hit each quadrant of the county.
Can you spell your name, please?
That's Myra Burden, B-U-R-D-E-N.
Thank you, sir. What's
the title again? She's our Chief Technology Officer.
Wednesday, you will be meeting again and reevaluating everything to make this final decision, per se, on how long students will be off for?
I'm going to call close of business day to the state on Tuesday, try to have the decision before Wednesday. But if I need to still to give the state a little more time to figure all of this out, testing is in 2 weeks. We've got to figure out days and how you get waivers for that, because you're only given about 5 per year for snow days and that kind of thing. So the state is working through some of those technical details now, and they've indicated that Wednesday would be helpful, as well as area superintendents that I've been on the phone with, is to everybody coordinate and work together so that if we come out with an extended school closure, we want to come out sort of as a region on this matter, rather than drips and drabs and school by school, because of the domino effect that if you live here and you're a teacher and your school system closed, you're not going to come to school system where you work. You're going to be at home with your children. So we're trying to do a unified, coordinated approach to this. And what we anticipate is that by Wednesday, March 18th, this information will have solidified and become much clearer than the state that we're in now, because you know this changes every day. So was that helpful? Okay, thank you.
And is there a time period in mind if the decision was made Tuesday, Wednesday for extended closure?
For how long?
Yeah.
At that time, I'm asking, again, the CDC and the professionals, that this is their main work to tell us guidance on what's most helpful, particularly for needy children who need a lot of different kinds of services. Is an extended time helpful for the containment of spread of this contagion, or is another type of time frame, and then look at it, So we haven't decided. We don't know 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That's kind of what's being done across the country right now because of that gestation period. But we'll continue to look at that and get the best advice on what that means. As we study these other countries, these other school systems, these other states that already are in the middle of extended closure periods.
How helpful would it be if the state were to kind of rescind the 180-day minimum requirement? Would that be helpful, easier on superintendents to kind of make that decision?
What would be more helpful is if the state came out and did like several states have done already, Ohio, Maryland, I don't know if Washington State has done it, but I know Maryland and Ohio have, where, you know, you make a coordinated plan and strategy and you close all the schools in the state for the amount of time that the research suggests at this time. It doesn't help when we're having these different choices and decisions. And then after that, go to work on what it means for all of these other issues, 180 days that children have to attend public school, all of the reimbursements and monies that are associated with meeting that requirement, on and on from there. So in that order, first, a unified decision about school closure, and then an issue and a restrict relaxation around the 180-day requirement. Ma'am, did you have a question that we missed?
I wanted to ask, if the decision is made Wednesday that an extended closure isn't needed right now, is Buffalo reserving the right to, you know, monitor the situation and make that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So it's fluid right now. So we could resume school on Monday, or we could go into an extended stay on Monday, extended closure on Monday at this time.
Wednesday.
I'm sorry, on Wednesday. Thank you. On Wednesday.
What about the school bus system? Are they doing anything to minimize possible spread of this or
that's an interesting. Which school bus system? You talking about our yellow buses or NFTA?
What you use.
Well, we use both.
Is it First Student?
Yeah.
If you can answer that question.
First Student has just been a great partner with us. They've been a great partner. I mean, they've certainly, from a sterilization and sanitization standpoint, have upped their protocols to make sure the buses are clean, the handles, the seats, everything is clean in there. The bus drivers are trained around hygiene and things, and they talk to the students about it. Keep your mouth away, keep your hand away from your mouth, you know, make sure you stay hygienic in here. But they also may need to step up and help deliver services. As I said, we have poor communities, and some folks who are sick may need to be taken somewhere quickly. I'm very pleased that I just heard from my colleague at Say Yes, Director David Russ, that there's a health organization that's going to be able to provide testing at our community schools should families need the testing around this virus. Because as you know, testing and test kits are not available in abundance, and that would be a big relief for people who are sick to be able to get tested and rooted out one way or another. And a lot of this anxiety, as you know, is around false positives and false negatives, and we want to be cleaner in whether you have this virus or not, and identifying those cases so that we can take the precautionary measures around that. But buses will play an important role in this work should we be closed for an extended period of time.
You mentioned that a couple students and teachers stayed home today, and there was some evidence of that.
They've been home.
They've been home.
Yes. So some have been cleared to come back, but none that have been tested have tested positive. So at this time, I don't have any known cases of positive test results for the coronavirus.
But with all this information, some families, parents, children, it can be a high anxiety time.
Absolutely.
What's your message to just, on the ground level, to parents and families that might be watching this, just your message to them?
Excellent. Yes, follow the safe cleaning rules. Follow the hand washing. Follow the hands away from the face. Follow the frequent washing of hands, and the social distancing is something that now is sort of our premier strategy right now. Short of school closure, we've taken steps to make sure that no group is in a group of 50 or more, that everything that has to do with school-related activities is kept right there on campus, right in classrooms. There are no travel outside of the school system right now. We've shut all of that down. We've shut spring sports down for now. And so the social distancing strategy is what we're most doing on. Gatherings that are contained and among known people, and no one is sick in that group. Because if you're sick, you're sent home and then sent through a protocol for that purpose. And so follow that. Use common sense, stay calm, and don't travel all over the place. Stay put. The bottom line now is stay put. If we reduce movement and we're not all around and interacting with, it's like Brownian motion. It's all about the sociogram, the molecules. The more you interact with people, then there's more and more and more. So just try to keep your actions contained to people that you know and people who are healthy.
With regard to maintaining access to the federally funded meals for those children who are eligible for them, if I understood you correctly, and I need a clarification on this, the community schools are going to be the place that will be the central places?
Epicenter.
Okay.
For that community. Those schools, if you just take a look, they're placed strategically throughout the city in all the four main quadrants of the city. There are four or five community schools in each quadrant of the city, north, west, south, east. And we've applied, I think, where's Jim? I think all of the schools have applied for this waiver for meals so that we can get the child nutrition legislation that is out there and passed and available for us. But we're gonna have these schools as a distribution centers for that. Jim, any clarifications for that?
No, Dr. Cash, and as you said, it's fluid. So those are the original locations that we're going to use, but we're going to be partnering with the City of Buffalo. We may look at some other sites down the road if we find that we need to open up more locations to do the distribution of the breakfast and lunch.
And colleagues, part of next week, Monday and Tuesday, is when I'll be working closely with the faith-based community. For example, Pastor Pridgen has offered to be supportive in this in whatever way is necessary. Because again, if that's just one way to break down the city and have folks come too, but there's of course churches and community centers in each of our communities, and we may have those entities be of assistance in distribution or in providing support to our families during this time.
We good? Anybody else? Can we clarify? I'm sorry. Are all of
sure.
the community schools going to remain open during extended closure for meals?
At this time, that's our plan.
Okay.
That's our plan.
Okay.
Huh?
From 11 a.m. to 1.
For that's a good point. For 11 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m.
Picking up today's lunch, hot lunch, and tomorrow's breakfast.
Correct.
And colleagues, just so you know, we have a lot of schools in Buffalo, and it will be for all children. We're offering it for all children in Buffalo, regardless if you go to Catholic school, a charter school, independent school. If you have a need, We have enough resources to provide the breakfast and the lunch for any family and any child that needs it, and that's where we'll do it. So it's an open to the to all children in the city of Buffalo. Colleagues, any other main points that I missed or big points that we need our community and our parents and families to know?